This is the Sports Reporters on a Monday, July the 10th. Sports Reporters brought to you by Play It Again Sports in the Fremont Shopping Center, Battlefield, Fremont, Springfield. Ned Reynolds with
Scott Purrier
and producer Garrett Bowles.
And our guest is
special guest on the line is the owner and director and all things STL. I just blanked out, didn't I?
STLSportsPage.com.
I'm sorry, Rob. Rob Rain's on the line with us. Rob, it's the All-Star break.
We're on a mental break now, too, you know.
And
I'm on a mental break every day. So
STLSportsPage.com. Great place to go see Cardinals coverage and more. And, Rob, I guess you were down in Springfield last week, and if you'd come Friday, you could have sat with Ned for about 4 hours of chit-chat.
Ned and I sat together for about an hour on Thursday, so we solved all the problems of the world then. I don't know what we would have talked about on Friday.
There you go.
We would have talked about how we could get through a telecast when there's 4 hours of rain going on. That would have helped.
Yeah, Ned,
you can't just say, we'll send it back to the studio. I'll be back in through later.
Oh, they did, and I flipped over there, and I'm not sure where they came up with the crap they ran when you guys weren't
on. It was crap.
Yeah, but it was interesting. But, Rob, we were talking in our top stories last hour about the Futures game, and and you came down to see a couple of the Springfield Cardinals, did you not, last week?
Yeah, primarily Victor Scott, because he was kind of still new to me. I mean, he kind of burst on the scene here. You know, I was a fifth-round draft pick out of last year's draft at West Virginia. Everybody thought, you know, good prospect, but I don't think anybody thought he'd be, you know, among the minor league leaders in stolen bases at the break or this year or going to the Futures game. So came down to see him and chat with him and wrote a story about him on the website last week. And I was Tink Hens, the other guy. I missed him pitching by one day, but I've seen him pitch before. And I think we've talked before about on your show here about the kind of the way the Cardinals viewed their midseason promotions. We knew we'd see both of those guys in Springfield here at some point this season. I think we'll get them for the rest of the season. It'll be exciting to see how they progress.
Is it far-fetched to think Hens might be a September call-up, or is that too many innings on that arm?
I think the way they brought him along so slowly, I don't think they'd want to rush him to do that when they have you know, been so patient with him, and they really don't even let him go more than five innings in a start so far, and he's still, you know, not going to be 21 until next month. So I don't see them doing that. I think there's more of a chance that, you know, he'll go to spring training next year with an outside chance of you know, pitching in the big leagues. You know, we all saw, you know, Carlos Martinez is one of the guys that kind of people compare him to because of his size, and Carlos was a guy that jumped straight from Double A to the Cardinals. So I think that there's a chance of that, depending on what other moves that they might make, you know, with the pitching staff and with their rotation over the winter.
And Rob, you're perfectly aware of the fact that Double A to Major League, it just doesn't happen very often, and they do have to take care of those kids. When you see Jordan Walker, is that an anomaly? Because he's playing very well.
Well, he's an anomaly because he's such a big kid. I mean, he's about double the size of Tink, you know, I think when you stand them next to each other. And he's, you know, you don't get to be the top-ranked prospect in baseball without a reason, you know. And I think that he's obviously just matured terrific over the last couple of years. And, you know, he's just, yeah, come to the big leagues and played outstanding. So, yeah, you don't see that happen all the time, no.
And the at-bats that he's coming up with now, of course, we were holding our breath yesterday late. When he got hit on the hand, but you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, he gets down 0-2 a lot, and a lot of them you're kind of looking at, these umpires are squeezing him. I mean, he's not getting a lot of help as a rookie, but the kid battles back and has such great at bats now. And then I saw that stat yesterday that he was, what, 8-for-16 in the ninth inning so far in his career. It takes a special kid, doesn't it, to have that kind of poise.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's no question about that. I mean, I think, you know, he's played up, you know, so much above his age level, you know, all his life, really. So, you know, I think that the fact that he's succeeding at this level is all about getting the opportunity. You know, I think that's the Cardinals have kind of created that spot for him. That's why it's going to be, to me, one of the more interesting things I want to watch the rest of the season, and it probably won't happen until after August and after the trade deadline, is what kind of chances they give to some of the other young players. You know, are they going to call up Mason Wynn and let him play every day for the last 2 months of the season? Are they going to, you know, maybe, you know, take a longer look at Luke and Baker as a DH candidate? I mean, there's got to be some things that you have to find out about some of these young players, and maybe this is the year to do that. So it'd be interesting to see how they handle all that, you know, as I say, once they get past the trade deadline.
Did anything ever come out about Jordan Montgomery's hamstring in terms of the severity?
No, he doesn't indicate like he thinks it's anything serious. I suspect in part because of the All-Star break, you know, he could basically miss a turn and not miss a turn, if you know what I mean, because they could set the rotation however they want after the break. So he could buy a few extra days that way and not have to worry about going on the injury list. He was supposed to meet with the team doctors, Dr. Paletta, here last night once the team got back from Chicago. So, but I doubt if we really know anything until Thursday or Friday once they get past this break. And maybe they're just hoping the rest will take care of it. It didn't look that serious when he left the field, you know, just a couple pitches. So maybe the rest will be all it needs. And they're hoping, certainly got their fingers crossed, that it's not going to be any more serious than that.
Now, he didn't seem to be in too much pain when he left the mound. So we'll assume that things will work out for the best. Rob, there's 4 days off, of course, the All-Star break, but there's still 2 more weeks before the trading deadline. When do you think, if anything's going to happen, when would it likely happen?
If I remember right, the deadline is 3 o'clock on August the 1st, so probably about 2:49.
You think it'll be that long and not necessarily?
That's when the Bader Montgomery trade went down last year, right? I mean, right at the deadline. It's kind of like me when I'm doing some kind of a project. They say, "How long will it take?" And I go, "How long have I got?" You know, so I mean, because you always want to wait and see what the options are. You know, I think there's two ways to look at it. I mean, and I, you know, kind of flippantly answer that question, but I think there's two ways to look at it. One is you can jump the market and get the deal done, you know, before you know some of the other players who might be available are traded. And I think you saw that. What was the Castillo trade when he went from the Reds to the Mariners last year? It was like 2 or 3 days before the deadline, or 5 days before the deadline, because they got such a haul in return. So now, if the Cardinals all of a sudden get an offer like that for Montgomery or Flaherty, you know, in July 22nd, I don't think they'll wait to pull the trigger. But saying that, I think teams are going to wait. You want to see, you know, actually who becomes available. And, you know, those things can change in the last couple of days, depending on a win here or a loss there. So who's available and then what it's going to take to get them. So I think you try to wait as long as you can.
Where do you stand in which camp with Montgomery? Because, I mean, this has been the Cardinals' most consistent pitcher. He is going to be a free agent. I mean, should they maybe try to sign him and keep him at 27 or 28 years old, whatever he is, as opposed to dealing one of your best one away?
Yeah, but I think he wanted to talk about staying in spring training, and the Cardinals didn't have any interest. And he said in spring training, if they don't talk to me now, I'm not going to talk during the season. So, you know, you could always keep him and make him a qualifying offer and hope he says yes. Or if he doesn't say yes, then you at least get an extra draft pick out of the draft next year. Because the situation is weird. I mean, if you look at Montgomery and Flaherty, and when they're pitching well, they're probably exactly the kind of pitchers the Cardinals will go after next winter, mm-hmm. whether it's in a trade or a free agency. Because from a cost standpoint, you know, we know they're not going to go get Ohtani. You know, they're probably going to be priced out of Aaron Nola. So, I mean, the guys that they would be able to, you know, compete for financially, it's basically the guys that they have. So that's what makes it kind of a weird thing. I mean, you could always do one of those things where you trade him now and then try to re-sign him as a free agent over the winter. You know, that's happened before with guys. So my guess, though, is if they trade him, that they're gone, that they won't be back.
Flaherty seems like a guy.
That's what makes it so tough, though.
Absolutely. And Flaherty seems like a guy to me that maybe just needs a change of scenery. You know, I mean, there was so much expectation on when he became a big leaguer. And, you know, then you had the Contreras thing and things like that. And it seems like he's kind of, you know, got a little different air about him. Would you agree? I mean, is he a guy that maybe would be better somewhere else?
It's hard to say. I mean, I like Jack, and I think when he's pitching well, you know, I mean, he's confident. He's a confident guy, and he trusts his own ability, and he's, you know, he does kind of march to his own drum a little bit, but I think he's a very talented pitcher, and I think he's, you know, we've seen it before that he can be, you know, top of the rotation guy. And I just don't know that you've got anybody else here that could do that right now. I mean, you've got maybe a couple coming years from now and a guy like Tink and stuff, but I'd like to see him try to keep him, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think they will. My only gut says that he will probably be the guy that they trade. He's younger than Montgomery, so, you know, I don't know. But I think that's the dilemma that they're in is, you know, if he was not pitching well and was causing, you know, trouble in the clubhouse or was, you know, people were tired of some of the, you know, off-the-field stuff, then, yeah, you'd just say, okay, move on, go start somewhere else. But he's just such a good, darn good pitcher when he's healthy that it's tough to say that.
And before writing them off, let's talk about the Cardinals because they won 3 of their last 4 games, 2 of them over the weekend in Chicago. Is this a sign the team's getting better, in your opinion?
They're playing the White Sox.
Answers it right
but,
there.
You know, but I think, no, I mean, I think you have to be encouraged by Matz's start yesterday. You know, that was the best he's looked, I think, ever as a Cardinal. You got, you know, the only last four starts, you know, which was Flaherty, Montgomery, and Michaelis and Matz, they gave up one earned run in 23 innings, I think it was. So that's the kind of starting pitching you need. I mean, that's where this thing has to turn around. You know, the offense can score seven runs in a game, but if the pitching gives up eight, you're not going to win. So they, for them to even, you know, think about getting closer to 500 and you know, taking a run at a very bad division, they've got to get good starting pitching, and that's where it has to start from. And those, so you have to be encouraged, by the way, the last four games where those guys went, for sure.
Is Jordan Hicks on the block, or do they feel like he's their closer going forward?
You know, I just don't see, when the Cardinals are in the position that they're in right now, I don't see how you can say basically anybody who's in a walk year is not tradable. You know, I mean, I don't think they're necessarily shopping him, but I think if somebody calls and says, hey, you know, we'll give you, you know, X, Y, and Z for him, I think you have to listen. You know, again, he's another guy. You just don't know what he's going to do this offseason. I mean, he could very well, you know, you make him a qualifying offer, he could very well accept it because, I mean, it's close to $20 million, which is a lot more than he's making, you know, right now. I don't know what he's around, three or something, maybe. I'm not sure exactly. But, you know, so that's a possibility, too, that they just hold on to him and make the qualifying offer. And if he says no, then at least you get the draft pick, too. So I think it all depends on what the offers are. I pretty much, those guys, I would put, you know, DeJong in that category. And then you got, you know, you even got a few other guys that, you know, are potentially free agents after next year. The teams might even try to make a run at because of the fact that, you know, they would have them under control for next year. So other than, you know, Walker, Gorman, you know, your big, you know, Goldschmidt, Arenado, I think you basically have to listen and, you know, hear whatever somebody's willing to offer you about anybody when the thing is, season has gone the way the season has gone.
Where are you on Hicks in terms of that skill set for a closer mentality for years to come? I mean, tantalizing stuff. Has he turned the corner in your eye? I guess to throw to first base aside the other day.
Yeah, that was just a freaky play. Yeah. But you have to just kind of throw that out. But I think, yeah, to me, he's looked much better as a closer than he has as a seventh or eighth inning guy. I'm more confident with him coming in at the ball game in the ninth inning than I am, you know, a lot of those other guys. And I'm more confident with him in their closer role. Some guys will like that. You know, I mean, how many times have we seen closers over the years when you try to bring them into a game just because they need some work and it's not a safe situation and they stink it up? You know, it's just whatever that mental, you know, kind of edge you need or that mental, you know, focus or whatever. I think he is a guy that needs focus. And I think maybe that's pitching that ninth inning helps, you know, put that focus on his head that, hey, I have to, you know, be sharp here and do this and three outs and the game's over and I get a save. So I'd like to see him keep him. I think he's got a lot of ability and can be a top level closer again, but you know, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, that's for sure.
Rob, in the draft last night, Cardinals had one pick in the first round and they get Chase Davis from Arizona, good ball player, good hitter and all that sort of thing. Were you a little surprised they didn't go for a pitcher?
No, because the college pitching depth in this year's draft was not very good. You know, they had the guys right at the top that went pretty quickly, you know, off the top 10 picks. And after that, there really wasn't anybody I thought was probably worthy of even being a first-round pick. So the depth of this draft, especially at the top of the draft, was in the college hitting class. So that's why it made sense. We kind of thought that all along, that was the direction that they would go and to see who, you know, who fell to them at 21. That's kind of the way they've operated in the past on different picks. You know, if Walker or Gorman, you know, falls to them, then that's who they're going to take. So, yeah, I like the pick. I think it was a guy that they actually liked coming out of high school in 2020 when they put Walker and Lynn and Hintz in that draft and just didn't have a spot for him and thought maybe he'd be better off going to college and improving his skills. And that's exactly what he did. But they didn't lose track of him. So I think he's been on their radar for the last 3 years, and they were happy that he was there when it was their turn to pick.
And they really need more outfielders too, you know.
Gotta have depth.
Yeah, this may be a dumb question, but I ask those. But can you trade up to pick in the MLB draft or not?
No, you're not allowed to trade. The only way you can do it, the only picks that are available to be traded are those competitive balance picks. Yeah. That you would get like for the size of the market or whatever you in or your payrolls or whatever. So the Cardinals have had those a few times, but and I actually have included a couple of those in trades over the years. But that's the only your regular first round, second round, third round picks you're not allowed to trade, and you're not allowed to trade the player that you pick with that pick for a year. So he is your property for you. You can say, you know, player be named later or whatever, make a trade, and he would be that player, but it has to be a year after the draft.
Can you imagine if they could? I mean, the Yankees, Dodgers, that Paul Skeens would have. There been a big loot of cash going somewhere, wouldn't there, yesterday for that?
That's actually one of the things people have talked about. It comes up every year when they're doing or every 5 years, whatever it is, with the next negotiations, with the next CBA and stuff, because it does make a difference. I mean, you see that, excuse me, all the time in the NBA draft and the NFL draft, you know, teams trading picks willy-nilly. But, yeah, I think part of the difference, though, too, is that you never, and we all know this, that, you know, very, very rarely, I mean, you do see it occasionally, the guy will go directly from the draft into the big leagues. You know, I mean, almost always, you're even a top college guy, you're talking at least a year or so in the minor leagues. So I think that's part of the reason why they don't let teams do that.
Rob, when you look around Major League Baseball and you see what the Orioles are doing and what the Marlins and the Diamondbacks and some of these lower budget teams are accomplishing, the Tampa Bay Rays do it every year. What does that say about baseball in 2023? Because then you look at the teams at the upper end, maybe not having as much success. Can you win that way consistently with what they're doing now?
It's going to be interesting to find out. I mean, I think one of the things that you've seen is you don't necessarily win just because you spend the most money on players. You know, that's nothing new. I mean, how many times, years in a row, has it been that the team with the best payroll doesn't win the World Series? You know, I mean, it does, you know, every once in a while it does happen, but it doesn't happen very often. So it just proves that, you know, you just have to be smarter and outthink everybody. You know, you have to get lucky with your selections in the draft, but you have to maybe really understand players and understand, you know, the makeup of a ball club and just, you know, developing players is still, I think, the way to go if you want to win consistently. It's still developing your own players, and if you have a hole, have a deep enough system that you can make a trade to get, you know, get what you need. So, you know, I mean, I think that's the way the Cardinals have operated for years. I mean, that's how they, you know, that, you know, you filled in with guys like Arenado and Goldschmidt through trades, but, you know, by and large, every night you're starting, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys that were your own original draft picks. So I know the Cardinals want to continue to operate that way. And they just have to get, you know, figure out how to get better from the guys that they have.
Rob, on this day, are the Tampa Bay Rays the epitome of what you were just talking about, best team to draft?
I think Atlanta's also right there. I mean, I like the moves that they make. I mean, now they've obviously gotten lucky with the Olsen and Murphy trades. You know, again, they traded value for a value and did really well, but you know, you're signing, you know, guys that they've signed on the international market that have really developed in Acuna and stuff. I think it's the best player in the league. So yeah, both of those teams I think are the models that teams have to try to follow right now.
And you look at those ones we mentioned, and obviously the farm systems, especially Baltimore, they just keep calling up guys
they were kind of like the Astros though for a while, you know, too. They were so bad that they got so many good high draft picks.
yeah, that helps a lot.
And you can't screw it up. I mean, you know, that's the thing. If you get that opportunity to pick in the top, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, players in the draft for 3 or 4 years in a row, you better get it right. You know, I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. Don't waste those picks. It's going to really be interesting to see. You know, the Cardinals could very well be in that position next year at this time of the draft that they've never been in it for a long time. I mean, they haven't had a top 10 pick in like 25 years or something in the draft. So, and they've changed the way, of course, the draft works now with the lottery system, is you're not guaranteed just because you have the worst. They don't have the worst record, but the worst record doesn't guarantee you the top pick anymore because they don't want teams to tank on purpose to try to get that pick. So, but if they continue to you know, be near the bottom of the standings, they're going to pick in the top 10 probably in the draft next year. So that's going to put them in a different position than they've been in for a long, long time.
I wanted to ask you, as a guy who follows their minor league system, what kind of letter grade would you give them the last 2-3 years for their ranking of the farm system and then their development of players?
I'd give them a B+, probably off the top of my head. I mean, you know, you promoted the guys you promoted to the big league club. You know, I mean, you've got Walker, you've got Gorman, you've got, you know, Carlson's still a relatively young player that's come up through the system. So, I mean, I think that they're very, you know, developed. Especially the position players, I think they've done a great job. I think you could give them a little bit of a lower grade probably for developing pitching. But there again, you know, there are two guys that are number one pitchers in this league that were Cardinal, you know, original signings that, you know, ended up going elsewhere in trades, and Alcantara and Gallen. So, you know, you can't say the Cardinals don't find and develop pitching. They just didn't necessarily hang on to those two guys at the right time.
Last one, what do they do with Tyler O'Neill?
I think they'd like to trade him, but I think he's got to be healthy. I mean, he's got to, you know, come out of this rehab, you know, some point in the next couple of weeks and prove that he's, you know, at least get on the field playing a little bit. And then, you know, they're not going to get anything where they probably would have gotten a couple of years ago in the trade market, but just, you know, try to give him a fresh start somewhere else and get, you know, somebody in here that's a potential prospect, probably mid-level prospect that, you know, has a chance to develop. But he has to get healthy enough to be on the field first.
All right, personal question, Rob, the last one. Are you a home run derby fan and an all-star game fan?
It all depends on the year. You know, I mean, last year's home run derby was interesting because you wanted to see what Pujols was going to do in it, and that kind of raised my interest level a little bit. I mean, I'll watch it, you know, if I'm done with my draft coverage stuff by then, but I don't glue into it with every pitch. you know, but I think it's interesting. I mean, I think it's definitely... It's more fun, and let me put it this way, the years that I've been at the All-Star game, it's more fun to watch the Derby in person than to me that is on television. It is great, kind of great theater when you're at the ballpark and you can ooh and ah with how far the home runs go and things like that. The year we had the All-Star game here in 09, you know, it was a lot of fun because you see balls hit in that sections of the ballpark that you don't normally see balls hit into, especially during games. So that's fun. And the All-Star game, you know, again, I kind of monitor it, but I don't necessarily glue into every pitch. To me, when they, and I kind of actually have the same feeling about the World Series almost, when they went to the, you know, schedule where you played everybody and you played all some of the American League teams that you don't normally see, that to me took a little bit of the excitement of the All-Star game away. Because, you know, that's when you used to see, if you're a National League fan, a Cardinal fan, you're used to watching all those games, you know, and it's your chance to see, you know, the Mike Trouts and the Aaron Judges of the world was in that All-Star game. So now that you can see them all the time, to me, it does change it a little bit.
You're talking like an old-timer like me. That's exactly how I feel, too. That's very good, Rob.
Well, there's a reason we talk like that, okay?
Hey, Rob, many, many thanks for taking time.
I hope all of our Springfield guys get to check out the site, stlsportspage.com. Hopefully, Ned, you got the app figured out.
I have it figured out. It's there. It's on my phone.
Okay, good. So, yeah, we make it pretty easy for people to find the stuff. And I know people say that all the time, especially, you know, our old friends from the high school days and stuff who know that, right, but they just don't know where it is. So, yeah, we have a newsletter every week that comes out that I think people would enjoy. So, appreciate people checking it out.
Kickapoo Day, because Rob's a Kickapoo guy.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, everything morphs together.
Got any other Kickapoo guests we can get on in these last 10 minutes or so? Or?
Rob Raines visiting with us from St. Louis. And
thanks, Rob.
Thank you very much. Rob has departed the scene. This sports reporter is presented by... Play-